Before we get to the episode, I've got something free for you. I'd love to give you a pack of Canva Instagram story templates and Pinterest templates that go with your unique brand's vibes. Whether you're more bright and colorful or more sophisticated and polished, I've got you covered. Take my website personality quiz at elizabethmccraby.com/quiz and you'll be matched with a few gorgeous DIYable website templates that would be perfect for your ideal client's vibes. You'll also get 10% off your template purchase from my shop, a free month subscription to Show It, a full brand personality profile to tell you what design your client is looking for, and of course, those awesome Canva templates. You can get it all now for free at elizabethmccraby.com/quiz. Now, here's the episode. All right, friends, in this episode, I'm teaching you how to debrief a launch in your business. We'll talk about what a debrief even is, why you should do one, the steps of doing one, and how I do this personally in my business and have for years. And I also have a resource to share with you, a ready-to-go Google Doc or Word Doc, if you prefer that format, of my actual launch debrief template that you can purchase and use as your starting point for your debrief. So stay tuned for info on that. But whether you're just getting started as a business owner, you're debriefing like your first launch ever, like maybe it's your website launch or the launch of your first service or your first, you know, sale in your business, whatever it is. Or if you've been in business a while, you may already be doing some version of this, even if it's just kind of in your head or maybe like in a note or a little bit on paper. But I'm hoping to show you how to do this like for real and effectively in your business so that you can learn from what worked and what didn't with previous launches and sales to make the future stuff even better. So really excited for this. This kind of stuff is one of my favorite things. Let's get into it. Hey guys, I'm Elizabeth McCravey, an online educator for entrepreneurs, website designer, wife, boy mom, and your host for the Breakthrough Brand Podcast, the show that's all about pulling back the curtain on how to actually build a successful business. I don't skim the surface around here. If you want to dive deep into the nitty-gritty details of what it takes to run a sustainable business that fits your unique lifestyle while standing out in a crowd, then you are in the right place. I created a multiple six-figure-a-year business in my early 20s, and now in my 30s, I'm still running that successful multiple six-figure-a-year business on just part-time hours now as a working mom. I'm here to share everything I've learned and everything I'm still learning because I believe that the keys to building a thriving business should never be a secret. Here you'll find episodes that are actionable, direct, and fun, like friends chatting business over coffee, and a fresh, honest take on the reality of being an entrepreneur. If you're ready to master online marketing, website design, personal branding, mindset, time management as a busy parent, scalable and passive income, and business strategy, then this is the podcast for you. It's time to build your breakthrough brand. Let's do this. All right, first, before we get into the how-to and all that, I want to start by telling you guys what a debrief even is in case that term feels confusing to you. So my definition of a debrief as it applies to business is basically a breakdown of what happened in a product or service release or a sale in your business. So it's a breakdown of what happened, what worked, what didn't, what the numbers were, the data points, screenshots, things like that. So you could debrief a new digital product release, a Black Friday sale, a mastermind door open period, a coaching program launch, a course launch, a membership launch, a new service launch, another type of promotional period. Maybe it's like not a sale, but there's a bonus and you're really talking about the service that week in your business and you're like, this isn't that huge of a deal, but I still want like data on it. Those are the kind of things we can debrief. So you're basically putting into writing and also maybe a video, which we'll talk about, what happened during this specific period, whether it's 5 days, whether it's 10 days, you can include the pre-launch, post-launch, all of it, what happened, and what level of detail you do will depend on exactly what it is, which you'll see me share soon. But like, for example, a debrief on a Labor Day sale or like a Valentine's Day sale on your pre-existing course might be like smaller because it's like you're maybe putting less effort into it. Maybe that's not like your big sale of the year, you know? That would be different from debriefing, releasing a new service or a new digital course and promoting it heavily, or something that's like your biggest sale of the year. Like for me, that would be Black Friday. You know, those kind of things are all going to vary in like how much you're including. So a debrief is what happened during a specific promotional type of period in your business. Now, I have three specific reasons why you should do a debrief, because let's be real, the most like common thing we probably do as business owners is like you do the launch, you do the sale, you know, it's 5 days, you do all this prep work, and then like, you know, like at the time, like, yeah, you know, 20 people bought, or I made this much money, or like it didn't go the way I hoped, or it went really great. And then you like reflect on it, you celebrate, maybe that weekend you have a bottle of champagne and you are like, yay, that was awesome. And then you move on. And then next time you go to promote that same product or launch something similar, you don't have any data points about like why that was helpful. So that's the most common thing, right? Which actually leads me to the first reason to do a debrief, which is that a debrief is a gift to your future business, a way to learn. So when you're in it, you might think like, oh yeah, of course I'll remember that doing a giveaway before the launch started was a good idea. Or of course I'll remember that I often get bummed out and worried on day four of the launch. Or maybe you'll think you remember I shouldn't do such a significant discount on the product. But you probably will not remember all of those kind of details in the way that you think you would, especially if you're someone like me and you have a lot of different products, you do a lot of different sales, you do a lot of different promotions, there's a lot of moving pieces. It can get confusing, and we are forgetful as people. So when we write it all out, we can reference it later, and you don't have to like have that information living in your brain. Whether the launch and sale went good or bad, you can release it after you're done and after you put it all into this document and then move on and then utilize it later. Another way to think about that is that maybe you grow a team and writing it out is going to help someone else that you don't even know yet be able to reference it later. So basically it's a gift to your future business. And the second reason is that we cannot grow and improve unless we look at what worked and what didn't at a more macro and micro level. And I also believe that debriefs in that same vein allow you to compete with yourself and iterate better in your business. So you literally can't do any of that though if you don't remember how it went and if you don't give yourself feedback. And when I say give yourself feedback, this would be, you know, let's say the launch didn't go well. This is not being hard on yourself, but this is looking to like, hey, like, why didn't it go well? What are the possible solutions? What did I do so you don't repeat the same mistakes? And if it went really well, noting like the little things that you might forget that really made it go well. So you don't want to go through business, you know, just doing the motions. We want to deep dive into things, get into the weeds of our business and find answers. And that's where you're going to see really good business growth and really powerful launches. And I get asked all the time about things like my launch strategy and how I plan launches, how I plan my podcast content around launches, which is something I cover in Podcast Success Blueprint, actually. But I get asked that question a lot, right? And this debrief is like literally one of the things that I would say I'm doing to like help launches go better is debriefing them. Okay. So anyway, third reason, then we're going to get into how to do a debrief. So honest debriefs allow us to not feel crazy. And I feel like this has been true for me in the last 8 years of business, because y'all have been doing debriefs like since the beginning, but there are so many highs and lows in business, and the highs and lows in a launch week, especially, or a big sale. And we often just remember the highs actually, or the lows maybe, but you don't remember all the details, right? So documenting things during or after the fact can help us feel not so crazy when things happen again, because we can look and be like, okay, I know I'm feeling this way, but like, I'm going to remember this. So for example, for one of my last template launches or sales, I was super discouraged on like day one of it. Okay. Like I was so discouraged. I did not make many sales that day. I was expecting a lot more sales than what came in on this new template. And the launch did pick up and actually got close to my goal. But at first I was so bummed, and I was literally like, I'm questioning everything in my business. What's wrong? Everything's falling apart. Like nothing works. And when I really looked at the situation with more detail and also a full picture, and you know, I wrote those feelings as they were coming up, first of all, in my debrief. But like when I really looked at the full thing, I realized that a first day being slower was because people needed to look at the new templates, and I had not been sharing about them much prior to the launch. Like there were no real huge previews and things like that. So people were deciding what to buy on the first day. And during that particular launch as well, this was like a year ago or 2 years ago that in particular, this is what I'm talking about. But I tried to do the launch of a new templates without a sale, so with no discount. And I was like, wait, I need to do a sale. I need to give people urgency to buy right now. So that was another mistake I had made, and I ended up fixing it during that particular launch. But I can learn from that for the future because I wrote it down, and it can help me not feel crazy the next launch of a template if day one's actually the lowest day of the launch. And this has also been true for me consistently in courses. Like often in course launches, day like two or three is like really low, and then you know, the beginning's higher and the ending's higher. And so noting that kind of data and knowing what's normal for your business is going to help you not feel crazy. Okay, now that we got the reasons out of the way, I want to tell you my two rules for debriefing, okay? And these are rules I live by with my debriefs and I think you should live by as well. And the reason for these rules is like a debrief only works as much as like we put the effort into it and we help make it work. This is actually something that like when you do this during or after a launch, it's going to take some time. It's not like, you know, I'm selling you this template, right? It's not like you just buy the template and then you have the debrief, you have to fill it out, okay? It's like it's work, but it's work that's so worth it. So anyway, these are my two rules of the debrief to make it work. First one, you have to be able to be honest in it, which means you need a version of this debrief that you literally plan to never share with a single soul. So you need a version that's not going in a Facebook group, that isn't being shared with your team, that isn't being shared with your mastermind, that's not something you're going to share with your business friends. It needs to be just for you alone so you can be as absolutely raw as possible. And in my business, I have a folder on my Google Drive that is only for me, like this whole folder, right? I have a big company folder and I have another folder that's just stuff for me. And my team is not on it. I'm the only person on it. And I have a lot of different business things in it, but one in particular is my launch debriefs folder. And I do share part of launch debriefs with my team, not for every launch, but like, I guess it depends. Like it varies a lot. Like for a smaller sale, I might not share. And I don't know, it varies a lot. But anyway, I do share things with my team, but I also like to go super, super detailed and personal in my main debrief and share stuff that I'm only okay with me seeing. And I think if you are writing your debrief with the intention of like, I'm going to post this for my mastermind or this, you know, course I'm in wants to see what my debrief numbers were and I'm going to post it there, or, you know, I'm going to share this with my team, you are going to write differently or make a video differently than you would if it was just for you. So start with a version that's just for yourself and plan for it to only ever be for you. And then if you do want to share it with your team, what I end up doing is I might call this, like, here's an example. Let's say it's 2024 podcast success blueprint course open, you know, fall or whatever. Something that was a really bad title, but something like that for the title of the document. I might at the end of it put internal in parentheses and external. And basically I make the internal one, I duplicate it, and then I delete out stuff that I don't want to share. And then I would give the other version, the external version, to my team or whoever it is I'm sharing with. So yeah, just be able to be honest in it. Make it only for you. This is only for you as the CEO of your business. And then long-term too, like maybe right now you don't have a team at all. As you think to like, maybe this is something you know, a year from now, you might have a team member helping you with this part of your business and you might share it. You can still go back and make that external version. So you just need to be able to be raw and honest in the document. Okay. The second rule of the debrief, you need to do it fairly quickly after your launch or sale ends and also during it potentially for the feedback part of it to all feel accurate, because again, we're really forgetful. So if you want to backlog a debrief with just the data, you can totally do that. And I'd even suggest that. So maybe like right now you're thinking, okay, Elizabeth, like I've never done this before, but I want to. And I actually had a launch that was like 3 months ago, but I don't really remember how I felt. I don't remember all the nitty-gritty details. You can go back and do the debrief with just the data, which we're going to talk about in this launch and sell debrief template will help you do that. But like the parts where you're writing how you felt about things and the little things that went well and what didn't, and just like the nitty-gritty like emotions of it and specific things you did that you might forget, you need to do that during writing the debrief. So like, or like either during or immediately after your launch or sale. And I've had some launches and sales where I've checked in every day into my debrief document to write notes about that day of the launch, where it's literally been like, okay, here are day one observations, day two observations, and so on. And I've found that those debriefs are the most helpful. Would you guess it? Of course they are. And I'm writing down like, okay, like here's how things were looking that day. Here's how it's made me feel. Here's where my like specific marketing efforts for that day, because guys, that's stuff you're never going to remember. Like maybe, you know, on day three, you DM'd a few people on Instagram who you thought would be a good fit for the course, and they were on the wait list, and you privately messaged them. Like, you're not going to remember that specific detail, but then let's say that day it had 5 sales, you know, like that sort of stuff is things you want to note. Okay, so now I want to talk about making the debrief itself and what kind of stuff you want to include. And I'll add here, like I already mentioned, if you want to purchase my launch debrief template, it is available now. And I'm so excited about like including this because, guys, this is literally what I start each debrief with. Like, I have a document. I made it look a lot better for you guys, which I'm really excited actually to use this new version in my own business because it's so much prettier than the one I was using previously and like a bit more organized as well. But this is a document I use. I duplicate it for each debrief and then I fill it in and I customize it, right? Depending on what's needed because different products need different things. But this is really holistic and it's going to help you whether you're debriefing like a service launch, a mastermind launch, a membership launch, a digital product or course launch, a template type sale, you know, I don't know if I already said mastermind, but like a service launch, all kinds of things. But anyway, you can purchase it right now at elizabethmccravey.com/debrief, just all one word there. I will also put that link in the show notes. That's going to redirect you to a cart page where you can see a little bit more info about it and you can just put in your info and go ahead and buy it. It's really, really affordable. I've made this super affordable on purpose. So when you see the price, you're going to be like, oh, that's like a really great deal. It's because I want it to be a really great deal because I want you guys to have this resource, right? And be able to continue to use and reuse it for years to come in your business because this has been so super impactful for me. So anyway, elizabethmccravey.com/debrief to get that. Now I'm going to talk though about some of the things that are included in that one, which that the debrief template is about like 5 to 6 pages in a document, right? And there's a Google Doc version and a Word Doc version. You're going to get both delivered to you and then you can access it however you prefer. But then you're filling it out, right? So there's a lot that ends up going into it. I have had debriefs that are like, you know, maybe like 3 pages because I'm not including all the information. And I've had debriefs that are like 10 to 15 pages. Not even kidding. That's more common for like a Black Friday. And it's not 10 to 15 pages of writing, but you're including screenshots from, you know, your email marketing software and social media and your ads and things like that. So anyway, let's talk about kind of the process and then what goes into it. So I'm going to kind of assume you're working with this document, the launch and sale debrief template, but I'm also going to tell you if you are like, I don't want to buy it, I want to just make my own, I'll give you some info on that too. But step one is data collection. So in my debriefs, I go over many things from, just to give you some ideas of what to include, total customers, where people found me, payment plans versus pay in fulls, what I feel like worked, what didn't, what I changed next time, anything disappointing, anything thrilling, anything that went wrong, things like that is like a lot of the stuff I personally really love to read when I go back. But I typically like to start with getting all the data out. So data from my email software, data from my cart software, those are like the two main places of like looking at conversion rates on the cart, looking at, you know, email open rates, click-through rates, and things like that. And then data from Facebook, if there were paid ads or, you know, if you were running Pinterest or Google Ads, wherever, but getting that all out into the document would be step one. And you don't need to do all the data gathering yourself if this is a huge, huge, huge launch. So if you have a team, this would be a great place to get some help on the initial data gathering. And I think for smaller launches, DIYing it makes sense. I've had plenty where I'm just like gathering all the data myself, but I've also had launches where it's like, you know, really big numbers. And so it's like, okay, I need someone's help gathering all that data to save me time. And then I'm the one that ultimately analyzes it. Lately though, I've just been doing it more myself. But anyway, that's kind of like, just so you know, when I talk about gathering that data, if you're like, oh my gosh, that's so much to figure out. Like, you know, how many people paid in full? How many people did payment plans? Like hopefully you, if you do have really high numbers, you have someone trusted in your business that you could pay to help you with gathering all that. Or maybe even you have a cart software that makes it really easy to like be able to tell that kind of information, you know? Okay, but here's what I'd recommend you or your team member gathering. So you'd want total customers from this period, payment plan variations. So how many pays in fulls, how many on each payment plan option. So maybe you have a pay in full option, maybe you have a 4 month, a 12 month, like how many of those customers did each of those different payment plans, and then where everyone found you. This is a really big one. And this is one of my favorite parts of launch debriefs because it literally like is going to impact your marketing decisions immediately the next day. Like you knowing like, okay, what things drove traffic to this product during this period? Like where were people finding you? So this should totally be a required question that you should ask people when they buy from you. I actually, for like the first maybe 2 years or so of selling digital products, I did not have this question on my carts, and I regret that. Like it's such helpful data and it's been game changing for me having it now. And I personally, for my business and the amount of sales I get, I like to let people type in an answer versus selecting from options about where they found me. And that I find that that's more accurate because sometimes what people want to say does not fit into a neat box. So if you let them only pick from like really specific options, though, this will be a really easy process because you hopefully have from your like software, like, okay, this, you know, 20% said they found you from your podcast, 10% found you from Instagram or whatever. And you can see that. Bigger businesses obviously do it that way. And that makes total sense. But for small businesses, if you can let people write it in whatever they want, I have found that to be really helpful because people sometimes will get really specific. They'll tell you like what Google search they did or what specific affiliate referred them or the friend or, you know, maybe they'll tell you that like, hey, I've actually followed you on Instagram first. I listened to your podcast for 3 years and I bought a template from you. Now I'm buying this course. I literally had someone buy Podcast Success Blueprint and that was like her answer. Like basically it's like all of the things. And so this gives you really great data into what is working. And so for me, my cart software I currently use is ThriveCart. If you want to check out ThriveCart, you can go to elizabethmccravey.com/ThriveCart, all one word. I'll link to that in the show notes too. But they allow you to have an extra question that's like a field response where people can type it in on the cart page. So that's where I'm getting that info. And then I actually have that info go into ClickUp for me, which is a whole nother conversation. And then I categorize it all. And so then I have all that data there. And then that's where I'm gathering screenshots for a debrief. But anyway, so those are things that you would want to have categorized by category. So for me in a launch, categories might be things like of where people found me, might be things like my podcast, Instagram, an in-person event, Google, Pinterest from a friend, things like that. And so it might be like, okay, it was 10 people from podcast, 3 people from Instagram, 1 person from event, you know, whatever it is. Okay, so that's one thing. Another thing I like including sometimes, and I have this in the template you can buy, but where people are located. And for me, most customers are US based, but I do love to know when I have international students. So in my debriefs, I will break down just between US and international and then where internationally everyone is. This is especially helpful to me for courses because I love to know like, okay, what percentage of people who just bought this from me are in a different time zone? That's really helpful for things like group coaching calls. And also I've had students where the English is not their first language. So that's also helpful to kind of know. Some people though, depending on your business type, you may want to break down where in the US more specifically by state, but I personally don't do that. If your business though is more location specific, you should totally do this and you put how many people from Tennessee, how many people from California, you know, how many people from wherever. Okay, so that's one other thing. Another thing you want to include is top performing emails and lowest performing emails. And this is data. I do a lot of like email marketing in my launches and sales, which I'm sure many of you guys do too, but this is something I've found so helpful. So you can add screenshots from your email marketing software and you can also list out like what emails performed best. And in the debrief template, you have info to put in like the best performing by subject line, the worst performing by subject line, and then also looking at best and worst by click-through rates and some other things as well. And with that, you'll be putting in like, hey, okay, here's what the email subject line was. Here's the click-through rate, the open rate, the unsubscribes. How many people was your list in general? Like what was the total list that you were sending all these emails to? What was your wait list if you had a wait list? So much good stuff there. And I also have this set up in the debrief template as well with the calculation information for you. But I really love to calculate the conversion rate on my whole email list and then on the wait list. So if there was a course, I would have a wait list amount of people write, and then I have the whole email list, which I was also going to have been emailing about this launcher sale. And so I'll figure out like, okay, what was the conversion rate on each? And I kind of have numbers I like to be between. And then I can look, right, and see like, okay, well, for, you know, this course launch, the conversion rate was higher. Like, why was it higher? You know, looking at that kind of stuff is really, really fun. So yeah, email stuff though, I really love. And yeah, I have all that set up in the debrief for you. And then in addition to that though, you want to look right at like, okay, what emails performed best and what performed worst. But then after that, ask yourself questions, right? Analyze the data. So then you can look and say like, okay, this was the best performing email, right? It had the most click-through rate, it had the best open rate, and the most sales that day. Why? Right? Asking yourself that question of why is going to be so helpful in writing down the information. And then you might observe other things, like maybe the email that had the lowest amount of clicks had way too many links in it. And that's something you kind of observe. Maybe the worst performing subject line, you're like, well, I wouldn't open an email with that subject line either. Like, no wonder it didn't perform well. You know, the kind of things like that is so, so helpful and then can inform future emails for that same product or other products. But I've done this again for like a template sale and I'm like, man, that subject line worked so well. I'm going to use it again next year. You know, like you can have that kind of data that helps inform later decisions. I also like to include data like day by day of the launch, how many people bought each day so I can see which days were best performing and worst performing and compare that to emails, stuff like that. Okay, so some other data though, so that's some you'd want to collect, and right, you might have different things in addition to what I just said that's more interesting to you even than emails or in addition to emails, like if you had a webinar launch and things like that. But some other data to collect, the finances. So you want total revenue, cash in the door, and with that cash in the door number, you could do it with post credit card processing fees or pre-credit card processing fees. For me, I do it pre because that is easier because that is what my cart software is telling me. But then you have to know like, okay, you're losing, you know, 2-3% or 4% even sometimes on the credit card processing fees, but total revenue cash in, total revenue coming in later if all your payment plans fulfill, and then totaling up those numbers and you'll be able to have like the total number of money made from the launch. For membership launches, you'll want to look at expected yearly revenue on the monthly payments. And you know, things like masterminds and other products, you might have a bit of a different way you're going to look at revenue as well. And then you want to look at launch spending. So like, what did you buy that relates specifically to this launch? And for that, I like to look at like, okay, what are things that are business expenses, but are not those basic business expenses? They are typically like a one-time, they were related to the specific launch. So things like the copywriter who wrote the sales page, the designer who designed the sales page, any gifts you did for customers, any giveaway spending you had, contractors you paid just for work on the launch, advertising cost. Maybe there's a software you bought to use during the launch, but only during the launch and then you're stopping it. Those would all be things that relate to the launch expenses. Okay, and then some other possible data I just want to note here would be webinar data. For this, you'd want things like how many people registered, how many attended live, how many attendees bought during and after the webinar. You could also look at your conversion rate on the webinar. Like, if, okay, you can see probably like in your email or cart software, like these are the people who had signed up for the webinar and attended, what percentage of them bought, and get that conversion rate. Facebook ads, you can look at conversion rates from ads. Like it's hard sometimes to get accurate numbers, but you can look and see like what those conversion rates were. If you did an Instagram live, maybe how many people watched it? Was it helpful? Private podcast, download subscribers, things like that. And then email list growth, you could look at how many people were on the wait list and when they joined and how that like pre-launch period went, if you really want to focus on pre-launch stuff as well. So those are some different data things you're going to gather. And then step two and the final step in a debrief is that you analyze it all. So you get all the data in there and then you start analyzing, you start writing notes, and this is going to look different for each type of launch or sale. And I recommend customizing your debrief if you do purchase this each time a little bit based on what type of sale it was. So as you guys know, I have courses, I have templates, and those debriefs are both going to be really different as to what I care about and what I include. And then also it's like, you know, if you do a webinar, an Instagram live, paid ads, those would also be included and would affect your analysis versus if it was just an email-based launch or if it was just a like flash sale that you only sent to a secret email list or it's only something you mentioned on your private podcast or whatever it is. So again, even as I look over my own debriefs for past launches, I notice a huge trend in my debriefs that each one of them is slightly different in what I did or didn't do based on my needs around that particular launch or sale. So sometimes I do a day-by-day analysis in real time. Sometimes I include screenshots of the email data and info under each email about how I think it did. I'll sometimes link to the email so I can like see it in my email software. Sometimes it's more overarching about the whole experience. It sounds like more details. Sometimes it's a lot of links and graphic screenshots. I've had 3-page debriefs, 10-page debriefs. debriefs, 15 page debriefs. It all depends. You do what you need. And the template you'll start with if you buy this debrief template is 5 pages. But then again, some parts of it you might not use. And it's going to grow as you add and answer questions within it. So some sections you'll see in this template that I would say are like must kind of observations. But first would be like, what was the offer? Explain in a few words for your memory later. I like to have that at the top. So it might be like, you know, the offer was 5 days. This was 20% off and it was these dates and this was the price, you know, that kind of thing. And then for your observations though, an overall notes area. So like what happened? What did you do? It could be broken down day by day or just more like overarching of like just observations around it. Then I like to have a what went well and what didn't go well section. And, you know, it's so fascinating because with launches, there's often so much that went well and so much that didn't go well, like at the same time. And those things can kind of be held together side by side in your debrief. So like an example of maybe like something that maybe didn't go well. You could write, I was discouraged on day one. I should have posted on Instagram more, but I did not feel like it. The email on day three confused people. My team did this X, Y, or Z problematic thing. You can like explain everything well. Some examples of things that could go well. Maybe you say the giveaway was amazing and brought so much traction, or airing 2 podcasts in a week instead of one worked really well, or the opening day was huge and then you write about it and expand on each thing. And then I love to have a takeaway section. And this is where it's like, I'm kind of summarizing the data and being like, look, Elizabeth, you need to do these things next time and remember these specific things. So taking what did and didn't go well and then telling yourself how to apply it. So here are some examples of that. One takeaway you could have is I loved ending the launch in the afternoon versus at midnight, or the sale was way too long and it should be 5 days max next time because I was exhausted, or people really cared about the discount even though I did not feel like it was that significant. So those are just some examples there, but you want to list out all your takeaways and it's kind of be in like a bullet point format. And then at the very end of your debrief, or you can do it throughout, but I kind of like to include all the screenshots at the end, generally speaking. You want to include screenshots or links to things that are helpful for you to reference later on. And if you have like a ton of screenshots, it might be that in your Google Drive, you have a folder that's for this specific launch and then the debrief documents in it. And then all the screenshots are in that folder as well. But you might have details from your email software in each individual email. You might have launch graphics you love that you want to include, or like a screenshot of like a reel that performed really well and like what the caption was, or an email someone sent you and like a question you kept getting over and over again, data from your Facebook ads, things like that. And then something I've actually started doing more recently is videos. So I actually did this for my Black Friday sale last year because I did a really solid debrief for that. And then in addition to that, there were just some things I'm like, I feel like it's easier just to say this than to type it all out. So I actually made myself a Loom video and I think it's like 20 minutes, like it's not short. And it, guys, again, this is just for me. I'm not going to share it with anyone. But I was just me talking about the sale. And so I had the debrief pulled up and then I had other things pulled up. I paused and restarted as needed, but I just talked through like, hey, here's what I was feeling. Here's what worked. Here's what didn't. Here's what you should, Elizabeth, remember this for next Black Friday. And so a year from that video being made, or actually not a year, I'll watch it probably like 2 months early to prepare for Black Friday, but I will watch that video and read that debrief, and then that will inform my Black Friday strategy for the next year. So I would encourage you, if you're more of a verbal processor, especially, or if you feel like there's just too much to write, you could do all this in video format or include a video to complement what you've written in your debrief. And remember, it's just for you. You don't have to share this with anyone else. So once you're done with your debrief, if you're doing an internal and external version, so you could share with your team or someone else, you can duplicate it and make those 2 versions, or again, it can just always be for you. And if you do have a team you're sharing this with, you could have a whole meeting where you're like debriefing the launch together, or maybe you have a marketing coordinator or assistant who is heavily involved in the launch and you like go over with them. Maybe you make them a Loom video about it and you never do an actual meeting. Or maybe like you don't share with anyone and it's just, you move on and the debrief hangs out in your debrief folder until next time you're doing a sale or launch of that product or a similar product. And you open it up and you're like, okay, what worked and what didn't, and you learn from your wins and you learn from your mistakes, and you're like, yes, this is going to go so much better this time because I have this data. And I love looking back at my past debriefs because you really just never know when or how they will be helpful. For example, actually, for my podcast success blueprint beta launch. I actually referenced my book.designer beta launch debrief when I was planning that launch. And that was a document I had made and not touched in about 3 years, because that's how long ago that beta launch had been. And I was able to glean data from it of like, what are some good ideas, what worked and what didn't from 3 years ago. And yes, the world changes and marketing changes in that amount of time. So obviously there's like some things where I'm like, hey, you know, that worked then, but that might not work now. But that data is so helpful for seeing like what you feel like worked and what didn't. And I actually know there were quite a few things from that specific launch debrief that I had forgotten about that ended up informing my decisions for the podcast Success Blueprint beta launch. So you're going to use it in a variety of ways, in ways you may not even expect. So anyway, that is it, friends. I think I've talked enough how to debrief a launch or sale in your business. And I just hope you try this. Like, again, I get asked a lot from you guys as podcast listeners, like how I do launches. This is one of the biggest ways I do launches. I've dedicated a whole podcast episode to it for you because I do think this is so huge in helping you in your business. And again, you can get that launch debrief template at elizabethmccravey.com/debrief. And that'll redirect you to a cart page. You can get a little more info about it and purchase it. It is super, super, super affordable. Really like a no-brainer kind of expense. The cost of like a nice coffee in order to get this, then you can keep reusing it in your business, continuing on and on over and over again. So I hope you guys enjoy that. If you get it, message me and let me know what you think. And if it's helpful to you, I'd love to hear like how your first time doing a debrief ends up working for you in your business. And yeah, that's it for now, guys. I'll be back next week with another podcast episode. Again, I hope this was so helpful and blesses you in your business. Thank you for listening to the podcast, friend. I appreciate you being here. That just flew by, didn't it? Hey, if you enjoyed this episode, I really want to encourage you to check out my website where you will find tons of resources to help you grow a profitable and sustainable business. Over on elizabethmccravey.com, you'll find things like free workbooks, guides, quizzes, lock screens, and checklists to encourage you in your business, help you grow, and give you practical solutions to many business problems. You'll also find my top business tools. Like, yes, I literally list out all the major ones for you on my website. And I even have a lot of special discounts and offers for you guys to snag as you try these products, services, and softwares. If you want to take the podcast content and make it super actionable, my resource page is here to help. So go to elizabethmccravey.com/tools to access everything. I hope you have fun exploring all of it over there. And if you loved this episode, leave a rating and review for the show wherever you're listening, or share with a friend. That's a great way to support the podcast, and I appreciate it so much. Thanks again so much for listening. I'll be back next week with a new episode. Bye for now.